morning and welcome to The Breakfast Show on Faith FM with Scaffy and Lawson. You're listening across Australia on 87.6, 87.8 or 88, depending on where you are. You can also listen to us through our Faith FM app. This is the best table for you to start your day with positive and uplifting thoughts. You can also send us messages at any time to 0491-064-669. Today is Tuesday, June 11. Do you know what day is today, Lawson?
It is International Day of International Days.
That's the International Day of Play.
Okay.
So do you like to play?
I love hanging out with people.
Yes, playing is great, but it's particularly focused for
Children.
For children.
Yeah.
To raise awareness of how important play is in the area of children. Shell, you have grandchildren at the moment in your life. Do you play with them? Oh, Shell is not listening to us here.
Yeah, she is. I do. I play with them all the time.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, so they're coming over today, so I'm going to be able to make sure that we fulfill international.
That's right. Yeah. Make sure that you play with them. I actually just was thinking about a new kind of play that I want to do with my kids.
Okay. What kind of play is that?
So my kids, as many kids, they can leave the house a little bit messy behind them.
Almost
as if, you know, the Tasmanian devil in the Looney Tunes cartoon thing.
You like spun around and did a tornado.
So I think that my kids can be a little bit like that, but I think I can solve this through playing.
Yeah.
So this is, I'm waiting for them to come back from Brazil with their mom. And this is the game. I won't let them leave the room without they've clean at least three things. And I'll be like a lion roaring at the door and won't let them. If they try to pass behind me, they're going to get lots of cuddles.
Yeah.
And in today's show, we're going to be talking about how AI is helping to make medical diagnosis. We're going to be talking about Emmanuel Macron dissolving the French parliament and calling for snap elections. Interview with Brad Moody about the biblical teaching of baptism. Our Bible study today will be about what will religious persecution look like in the last days of this planet, according to Jesus. And you cannot miss this show. You can also listen to us in the podcast, but today is going to be a great day. I can anticipate that.
You're listening to The Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
Yeah, we just got pretty animated, actually.
We got pretty animated here. Our hearts are pumping. The blood is flowing all over our, you know, inside of our veins there, because Lawson and I just dropped in 10 push-ups.
Yeah.
Do you find that they're getting easier now, Lawson?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm chilling. I'm having a good time.
Yeah.
I didn't hit my quota yesterday, though, like my 130, because I was furiously driving home, keeping to the speed limit, though.
Furiously driving home at 60 kilometers an hour.
Not 60, you know, 110 on the freeway, but, you know, furiously driving home. I didn't quite get my 135 in, but I'm keen to do it today.
Yesterday was my first day where I hit the 135.
Oh, dude.
I am owing some push-ups. Shell said that she's going to bring here a whiteboard. She brought it already for us
to mark down.
She's it's accountability.
Some push-ups as well.
And why are we doing this, Lawson? Why are we doing 3,000 push-ups throughout this month of June? Do you have any idea?
Well, the number that we're doing, I believe it's 3,249.
Yes.
Yes, that represents the amount of people who committed suicide last year. And so we are going to be doing
2022, that was.
2022, sorry. But we are going to be doing these push-ups, firstly remembrance of them, but also raising awareness and trying to, enable people to get out there, to check on your friends, to see if they're okay.
And also to raise funds for one initiative
that
I believe will help with people's overall mental health. And that is called Faith FM.
Of course.
Faith FM. So go to the website, www.faithfm.com.au. You can donate any amount. Just ask yourself in your heart, what is the best gift that I can give to the Lord Jesus Christ, to this ministry of spreading his word through the airwaves?
Mm.
of radio.
Absolutely.
And this is why Lawson and I are raising this money for. We believe that we can make a difference, you can make an impact, and you can also be part of that story. And while you go to your website, there's something else that you can do, because you're not only there to bless others, but to be blessed yourself.
Yeah, that's right. We have our end of financial year giveaway. You'll see the splash banner across the top of the website. If you click on that and follow the steps that are there, there are multiple that'll give you different entries into the draw, as well as putting in our particular Breakfast Show code word, which is the word honey. But yeah, if you jump on, follow those instructions, you can go into the draw to win an iPad.
10th generation iPad. Not talking about a second generation, you know, old.
That's right.
iPad's a brand
new. We didn't get this thing off Marketplace. We went to the Apple store. We got this iPad. We want to give it to you for free. We also have, yeah, a ton of, you know, giveaway cards that we, you know, that we'll be doing as well. So get in for that. Jump on faithfm.com.au. But you want that number ready, 0491-064-669, because I'm about to ask the first question of today's quiz. Here we go. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with blank. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with blank. 0491-064-669. This is a biblical quote, and we are wanting to know what that blank is, or that, you know, it's a body part here that finishes off the verse. So, you know, again, he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with, and then finish the verse there. And it's specifically a body part.
I don't think there are a lot of body parts that people can use to flatter other people.
Yes.
So hopefully.
Just think about it. 0491-064-669. Our prize for this week is an epic, expensive, amazing Bible that we want to give to you, either in King James Translation or New King James Translation. We have them in front of us. These are like the really handy, like awesome, like a bit of a smaller print one here I'm looking at.
They're not too small. They're compact.
Compact, yeah. Yes. With, and you can hear this, zippers that keep them safe as well. We've got a New King James Translation. We've got a King James Translation. We want to give both of the, well, we want to give one of them to you absolutely for free, whichever translation that you would like. If you would like it, again, 0491-064-669. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with blank. What body part is that there?
They are quite exquisite, but we'll talk more about them and pocket Bibles in our next segment, whenever we're talking about the quiz question number two. But before that, I want to know, Lawson, how is AI helping people to understand and to make medical diagnostics? Can you give us any ideas?
Yeah, this is really cool. Some really cool tech coming out of Denmark. Again, we just keep seeing the ability of AI broadening, you know, in terms of the tasks that it can do. Now, this particular AI was trained to look at mammograms and to detect breast cancer. And they were like, okay, if we can get an AI that detects breast cancer, how well can it do? You know, and they started just running it through scans that like the doctors were doing as well. And this AI, did basically beat humans in like every single category. For example, of all the, you know, tests that it gave it, of all the mammograms that it just gave it every single mammogram that had been through this particular breast cancer clinic in Denmark that year.
Okay.
They just gave it every single one. And it detected AI out of, you know, all of the patient, the AI detected out of all the patients that had gone through there, where the doctors detected 0.7 of all of the patients that went through.
Okay.
You know,
had an actual
breast cancer.
Breast cancer.
The AI detected 0.82. Now that might seem small, but we're talking about out of every single patient, even those who, you know, don't have breast cancer, there was a 0.12% increase there, which is like a significant amount. Now you might be thinking, okay, it's detecting more breast cancer, but is it correctly detecting that? Now,
yes.
Out of everyone who had detected having breast cancer, it actually had a lower false positive rate by about 1%. It had like a 1.5% lower false positive rate. So it's like detecting accurately, detecting more than the doctors are, but more accurately. So it's, yeah, very, wow, very interesting. It also found, that it was able, yeah, just to detect, invasive cancers and whatnot at a much smaller size than the doctors were able to. It's, you know, for a doctor, when the cancer is less than 1 centimeter or 1 centimeter or less, they detect it like 36% of the time. And then usually if someone comes in and they're feeling something and they come in for a repeat visit, then they'll end up detecting it. Whereas the AI was able to detect like these cancers that were 1 centimeter or less 50% of the time. So where the doctors were working with about a third, the AI was working at about half. Now, the application of this is they're saying, oh man, it just made the doctor's job so much easier. There was less, you know, more patients they could see, less paperwork they needed to do, less repeat visits. It drastically dropped the repeat visit rate. That was a big thing for them, is that they were having a much easier time with patients. Yeah, just being able to come in once because of how much better it was at detecting smaller cancers. But yeah, I think that, although now the application is, you know, it's able to detect things at a higher rate and, you know, leading to less repeat visits. And that's a good tool for the doctor. You know, you could say, hey, in the future, does that mean that there will be no need for a doctor and there will be no need for people in the breast, you know, breast cancer detecting game or breast cancer clinics or whatever it may be? I guess we'll see. We'll see.
We'll see. I don't think that we are there yet.
No. Definitely not there
yet. Is this a possibility that we can solely rely on machines? Yeah, but I think that it's still having a human discernment to look and to reveal that, because I think that the AI, what is it very good at, is at picking up correlations and patterns that it can notice by seeing billions and billions and billions of data that we can't see. And that's a tool. But at the same time, you know, what the robot knows is what we know, because it is the medical community that is training these models in the first place. So, you know, would they be able to be replaced by AI? I don't think so. Not at the moment. However, it is proving to become a very invaluable tool.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is where it sits right now, as an invaluable tool. And I would say, hey, you know, in this particular industry, when we're talking about saving people's lives, whether it's a human or a robot, like, saving someone from the difficulties of breast cancer, especially late stage, and, you know, being able to detect things earlier, you know, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that we have a tool like this.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
And also, before we talk about French politics and the president,
one of my favorite
dissolving,
topics,
dissolving the national parliament out of the blue, let's ask another quiz question.
Okay, here we go. Next quiz question. Complete the verse. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth blank blank. 0491-064-669 is the number to text if you know the answer to that one. I'll give a little clue of where it's from. It's from the book of Isaiah, from one of the later chapters there. Again, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth blank blank. If you know the answer to that one, again, that number 0491-064-669. And our prize for this week, we have the Holy Bible. We have two of them here. We have an option for you. Either you can get a King James version, or we have a New King James version that we want to give to you absolutely for free. But what are some of the features here that you're seeing on this Bible?
So, Lawson, number one, I like how compact they are. They are lightweight.
Yeah.
They can fit nicely inside of a backpack or inside of a purse. And I am of the doctrine. I am of the strong opinion that reading a physical Bible is 10 times better, Shell the producer, than reading the Bible in your phone. And this is scientifically proven, that when you're reading an actual 3D book, there is greater retention to your brain.
Wow.
Because there's the touch. There is this, you use more senses in that. And it's just very nice. I carry one with me at all times, at all places that I go. And if I am having to wait online or something, just sit down, open my Bible. I just say, okay, you know, what is interesting here? What do I want to read? I read through. It gives me so much blessing. So many times I had these wow moments just throughout my day of having beholding the beauty of Jesus Christ thanks to a pocket Bible like this. And they're not cheap. Actually, they're fairly expensive, but nothing is expensive enough when it comes to your salvation, listener, when it comes to your spiritual growth and your happiness. So this is why if you send the correct answers to the quizzes this week on Friday, you are going to go into a draw to win one of these two exquisite Bibles, compact Bibles, lightweight, zipper protected Bibles for you to increase and enhance your spiritual experience.
That is powerful, guys. Again, on Friday at 8:45, we're going to be spinning that wheel. So again, the number is 0491-064-669. And that question was, complete the verse, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth blank. 0491-064-669.
Okay, Lawson. In France, when you get elected, as a senator, as a parliament member, you expect to serve for a tenure of about 5 years. Now, the last elections that France held were in 2022. So 2 years ago.
That was not 5 years ago.
Not so. 5 years ago. Now, President Emmanuel Macron, just yesterday, to the shock and horror of absolutely everyone, decided to dissolve the parliament, saying, okay, this parliament is no longer valid. We are calling in snap elections in the end of this month.
Wow. So that basically, like, all of the people who hold seats for different areas, they're just kicked out.
Kicked out, and let's vote everyone again. Now, there's background to that. You know, Rishi Sunak in the UK done something similar. And what happened is that throughout these past few days, Europe has been going through the voting for the European Parliament. So when you're in France, for example, you're not only voting for France's parliament, but you're also voting for your representative, the France representatives at the EU Parliament in Brussels. So a few things are happening. Number one, Emmanuel Macron has a very, very big disapproval rate.
Yeah.
In France at the moment. So 65% of French people disapprove him. Only 34% approve him.
That's
so that's
massive.
One. Number two, he is already, since 2022, he's already leading the country on a minority. His party is a minority in the French parliament, meaning that he cannot get laws passed through.
And he's just sick of it. He's just like, I guess.
I mean, he's already like, you know, am I going to stand, you know, 3 more years in this quagmire? So, in addition to that, in this weekend's European Parliament elections, what the media calls far right, to be honest, I don't like when media calls things far right. I think this is a prejudiced term. I don't call it left or right or conservative, whatnot. But the conservatives, what the media calls the far right party, called the the RN party. I'll remember here in a second. So that's the conservative right wing party from Marine Le Pen. They won 32% of the French votes versus only 15% of Macron's party, the Renaissance.
Yeah, I'm looking at the election results right now. They're leading this group here.
Yeah, they are.
The National Rally.
The National Rally. Thank you very much. National Rally. Not only that, and other right-wing groups, they got in total 40% of the vote. So not even including the centrists, you know, the more moderate left, and then the more extreme left, if you want to. They're more, there's actually a party in France called the Radical Left Party.
That's awesome.
It's an actual name. So in light of all of that, what would Emmanuel Macron do? He decided, you know what? I'm going to call the bluff, and I'm going to say, you know, to France, if you want to be ruled by the right, you choose them now. We're going to do, I'm going to dissolve this thing, and we're going to do elections all over again.
Dude,
I want to see if we have the guts to be ruled by them.
this is hectic.
That's right. It's hectic. So he did that. Now, there's three things that can happen. Number one, his gamble can work in his favor and he can get a majority, and then it will allow him to, at least for the next 3 years, rule the country properly. So far, he has been ruling the country through executive orders, basically. That's not a very democratic thing to do.
Yeah, that's very difficult. Yeah.
Then number two possibility is that the National Rally will win a majority.
Yeah.
And that will make very hard because then they will have a president and a prime minister that are from, you know,
the same party.
You know, extremely opposed views.
Ah, okay.
So in France, they call this a cohabitation.
Mm-hmm.
When the prime minister and the president are from,
because it
can happen that. Or the third scenario is that, okay, they can have no overall majority at all and kind of things stay as they are, really.
Mm-hmm.
And so Emmanuel Macron is banking on that.
Yeah.
It's very unpopular move. It's very rare in France history. So let's see what's going to do that, what's going to happen. However, I thought about one Bible passage that talks a little bit about a similar scenario where Jesus was losing a bit of his popularity.
Yeah, wow.
He was teaching some teachings where that people said, man, this is hard to understand. Mm. It's hard to... And this episode can be found in John chapter 6 and verse 53 to 54 and onwards.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said here, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Jesus was using this as a metaphor. He's talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood as a participating in his covenant, entering into a covenant relationship with Jesus. But a lot of people said, you know what, this is hard. And a lot of people left. A lot of the Bible says a lot of Jesus' disciples, not of the 12, but Jesus had a wider number of disciples, they left Jesus. And instead of Jesus, now that he lost the majority, instead of him calling to dissolve his assembly of disciples, he didn't do so. But he gave them the option to leave him.
Mm.
And he said, what about you to the disciples? Would you also like to leave me? You have the freedom of choice. You can do so if you want. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Mm.
So what I love about that is Jesus does not want anyone to follow him. He's not using any gimmicks. He's not using any coercion. He's not threatening people that are leaving him. He's saying, do you want to stay with me? And the right answer is like Peter said, to whom shall we go? You are the one that has the words of eternal life.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
0491-064-669. In a few instants, we're going to have an interview with Brad Moody about the doctrine of baptism. What does the Bible actually say about it? But before we do so, we have another quiz for you, Lawson.
Yeah, here we go. Which of these were not used by James as an analogy for the tongue? This is a multiple choice. A, a horse pit. B, the helm of a ship. C, a double-edged sword. Or D, a small spark that starts a fire. So in James chapter 3, he uses all these analogies for the tongue, you know, the things that we say, our mouths and how we use them. But one of these analogies he does not use. Which one is it? A, a horse pit. B, the helm of a ship. C, a double-edged sword. Or D, a small spark that starts a fire. You really need to think about this one. You really need to think about it. It's important. This one's a little bit tricky. You're looking for, okay, I'll give you a clue. The Bible uses every single one of these analogies to talk about the tongue, but one of them isn't used by James. So, and hey, if you don't know, just A, B, C, or D. Just send us one through. But A, a horse bit. B, the helm of a ship. C, a double-edged sword. Or D, a small spark that starts a fire. And of course, our prize for this week, we have one of these amazing Bibles that we want to give to you. Compact, zipper protected, and yeah, just awesome to carry around.
Yes, leather cover as well.
Yeah. Beautiful print.
And it's really nice and compact. This is what it's for. You can, you know, keep it with you in your car. You can keep it with you in your backpack, in your purse, in your workplace, whatever it is. So whenever you have a little break, you can just open it and, inspire, infuse your mind with the pure words that come out of God's lips. How good is that, Lawson?
Absolutely. Hey, you're listening to The Breakfast Show this morning. Again, that number, 0491-064-669. But on the phone with us for our interview today, all about apologetics and what the Bible says, we have our good friend, Brad Moody.
Brad, welcome to The Breakfast Show this morning.
Hey, thanks, team. So good to be here this morning.
Now, it's great to have you. So, Brad, we want to know a little bit more about what the Bible has to say about baptism, what it is. You know, I remember that I grew up in a Catholic home, and I was baptized as a baby. And I'm wondering, is this a practice that a lot of churches do? Is this something that we see in the Bible? How does it work? Can we baptize people? You know, I know that some of my friends in the Mormon church, they perform baptisms on behalf of their loved ones who are dead as well. Is this something that the Bible teaches? What can you tell us about the Bible's doctrine of baptism?
Absolutely. Look, yeah, you nailed it. Those are some of the biggest questions, and hopefully we'll be able to tackle both of them as we progress. This is, like you mentioned, a really important topic and probably one of the most misunderstood topics in the Bible. And so important, in fact, that Jesus himself says that it is necessary for salvation. We'll unpack that in just a second. But the problem is that so many Christians today, unfortunately, misunderstand what baptism is and how it's supposed to be performed. That's why it is so essential that we spend some time unpacking this. So first of all, Do either of you know what the word baptism actually means? Like what Greek word it comes from and what that actually means?
Okay, Lawson is our Greek scholar, resident Greek scholar.
It comes from
lucky we have you here, Lawson.
Like baptismo, I believe is that correct or am I off?
Yes, spot on.
Yes, it comes from the word baptismo, I believe it means to like immerse, like it means to like submerge. Or is
absolutely,
that
right? Yes.
You nailed it.
You nailed it.
Greek scholar in the house. Thank you, Lawson. Absolutely. So it seems pretty hard to misunderstand that. But there are so many different ideas in the world today surrounding baptism. It's been over-spiritualized, I would say. So let's take a look at a couple of key verses in regard to this. So particularly Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. This is one of the most important ones. This is the Great Commission where Jesus is basically signing off to his disciples. This is the last time that he speaks to his disciples in the book of Matthew. And he says, go and teach all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So in Jesus' mind, this is pretty big. This is like the thing that he is saying at the end of his time with his disciples. He's going back to heaven. He's not going to have his physical presence with them anymore. And he says to them, teach and baptize. So in other words, you disciples need to change the world and you need to do it through two major elements to make that happen. You need to teach them whatsoever I've said unto you. And the other essential element is baptism. Now, notice how important the book of Mark highlights baptism to be, saying that it is essential for salvation. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, he says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So you see how critically linked it is to salvation, right? So John reiterates the important nature of this in highlighting what Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 5. He says, verily, verily, this is Jesus saying, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Notice that Jesus, the emphasis that he gives it here, he says, verily, verily, or in other words, listen up. This is imperative that you get this. And he says, you have to be born of water and of the Spirit in order to experience the kingdom of God. This sounds pretty critical. So we need to get this right. So you have to be baptized physically with the water. Go ahead. Jump in.
Yes, can I ask you a question? So let me just kind of jump back to Mark 16:16 here.
Yes.
Okay? So you're mentioning about, you know, it says here, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. You know, what if someone comes to you and say, hey, are you saying here that all the people in the world that had not had the opportunity for them to be baptized, are they automatically condemned? Is this not some kind of salvation by works, salvation by baptism kind of? What would you say to that person?
How would you reconcile that? Look, that's such a good question. So you're essentially asking, like, is this a works-based salvation or is this something else? Well, look, we have to keep in mind, as we've talked about multiple times here in this discussions of the law and grace in sessions previously, you can go back online and have a look at those sessions in the apologetics segment in the website if you want to go and unpack that further. But essentially, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9 says that we are saved by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. But there is something you need to do in order to accept that gift, and that requires a physical action. And as we were just talking about, this baptism is a physical evidence of an inward spiritual experience. It is the outward representation of the inward experience spiritually. That is being born again. Now, someone will possibly raise the argument, apart from, you know, is this a faith and a grace and works thing? Someone may ask the question, well, what about the thief on the cross? I mean, he wasn't baptized, and Jesus definitively said that he would be saved. And it's such a good question, and it's so important that we don't miss this. And I hope this is kind of answering your question. Holds us only accountable for the decisions we are capable of making. Notice this, I want to just repeat that. God only holds us accountable for the decisions we are capable of making. That thief had no way at that point to be baptized. But notice the fundamental difference between that thief and the people who use that thief's example as an excuse to avoid baptism. Do you think, for argument's sake, if by some miracle that thief was able to descend from the cross and be given the opportunity to be baptized, that he would look for an excuse to not be? Or do you think that thief, if he came down and was given the opportunity to be baptized, that he would take it up with both hands?
Yeah, I think he would take it up. I
agree. Like, we need to be careful not to look for reasons to avoid what Jesus asks us to do, but rather to ask what else we can do for him. So in the thief's case, if he had the chance to be baptized as that outward expression of what had just taken place in him supernaturally by God's grace in his life, then he would have taken that up as that evidence of that inward change. No doubt about it. Now, let's take a look at what Romans clarifies baptism symbolizes. I'm glad that that's sort of hopefully answering that question that I'm sure other people have as well.
Yeah, I like what you said there, Brad, and you said that, you know, God only keeps us accountable for the decisions that we are actually capable of making. I love that. I think that really demonstrates at the same time our responsibility, but also God's grace as well, and Him taking into account our personal circumstance. So I like that key word there that you used, capable. So so you're talking about Romans, right? So that's the next passage.
That's right. So Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 and 4, for those listening and wanting to investigate it, says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." So you see there, baptism represents the death and resurrection of believers. The old self dies. Jesus now lives his life through them. They strive, these people that have been baptized, to act now as he acted, to think as he thought, and to live as he lived. And so that old life has been done away with. It's dead. You don't need to worry about your past. This is what baptism is that symbol of, is that your old life has been done away and that you are now commencing a new life in Jesus Christ. Of course, this does not occur until the person has decided to make a change in their life. That inward change of heart once again. So baptism is not something you just do because you feel like it. It is a commit to a life with Jesus Christ. That person has gone through, the person that's baptized, a number of changes and a number of decisions leading up to that life-changing decision of being baptized. And to clarify, notice what Peter says comes before baptism in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Acts chapter 2, 38 says, "Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." So notice that Peter says, those who are inclined to be baptized must first show repentance. Well, what is repentance? Do you guys know? Does anyone know? Do you guys know what the Greek word for repentance is there? What's that word so that we know that we're on the right track?
Lawson, I'm looking at you.
Oh, I was just thinking thinking of definitions, you know, to turn around, to go the other way.
Yeah, I do not know the Greek.
No, you nailed
it. Greek for repentance, though. What is it? Is that metanoia?
Well, it's And that's the one. You nailed it. I think you pronounced it better than I can. So I'm just going to leave you. And that's how it's pronounced. As Joseph just said. So
metanoia means a change of mind. A change of mind.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly. And as Lawson just said, like without even meaning to, he's defining the word already, like that turning away. So turning around to change your mind to go, you were going in one direction in a life of rebellion against God and his law. And now you've decided consciously to go another way towards righteousness, towards doing the right thing. Now, this is so critical. There has to be a conscious recognition. And this answers the question that you raised earlier, Joseph, a conscious recognition of the wrong direction in your life that you were going before baptism can be considered valid. There needs to be a conscious realization that Jesus is your only option. So what do you think about infant baptism? Is it valid? What do you think?
Yes. Now that you said that, it's very interesting, Brad, because, you know, I was thinking about that because if you, as an infant, you don't really have mm-hmm. the capacity yet to repent. It's a little bit too early for you to understand that
that's
you
right.
were going with your life in a certain way. Now you're not anymore and you want to come mm-hmm. back to Jesus. Mm-hmm. So in that regard, then repentance could not come before the baptism. The child is not yet
exactly.
able to repent, particularly as a baby. And I'm,
that's right.
I also makes me wonder about the baptism for the dad. So if I'm getting baptized on behalf of a loved one,
mm-hmm.
Can I repent on
yes.
someone else's behalf, or they have to do this themselves
right. yeah.
first, which makes more sense to me. So
uh-huh.
both
already,
of them, I think, will stumble upon that principle, that concept that you're sharing here, the Bible's sharing about repentance
Absolutely.
Preceding baptism.
Absolutely. That's so, spot on that you just said that, because with the baptism of the dead, these people have not had the opportunity to make that conscious decision, unfortunately. And the Bible says that that's critical. And so some might think, and we've already unpacked this as a team here on the Faith FM apologetic segment, that death is asleep. It's not something that is like a stairway to a new higher existence. Death is asleep. You are unconscious in sleep. Therefore, you cannot make a conscious decision if you're sleeping.
So right? That's another.
It's just not possible.
That's
so you cannot make that.
It's interesting.
Conscious recognition.
So it's another contradiction it would be. Yes,
yeah.
So it's another barrier
exactly right.
for that, because number one, they're not even conscious. And,
that's
and
it.
Then
so how can they make
advantage.
That decision?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, like it. Love it. Thanks.
All right. So now continuing on, we just need to clarify with the infant baptism. So I have a 2-year-old son and he's pretty switched on, but I can tell you without a doubt, he cannot comprehend the meaning of the word baptism or repentance. Therefore, he is ineligible for baptism. But let me just reiterate what we talked about before, talking about the thief, that God only holds us accountable for the decisions that we are capable of making. God is just and he is loving, and we can find that perfect balance. God will not hold a child accountable for not having made a conscious decision to be baptized when they were too young to understand it, just as he would not hold the thief accountable that was unable to be baptized on the cross. And God says that in the book of Acts, this is a really powerful verse, I love this one, that he winks at our ignorance in times past, but that verse goes on to say that after the truth has been understood, we are called to repentance. That's Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. So this is just so critical that we understand that God can only hold us accountable and will only hold us accountable for those decisions that we are capable of making. Now, another really good important point to understand is that if we want to be followers of Christ, in other words, Christians, which is what that literally means, or disciples, in that sense, we need to follow Jesus every step. And Jesus gives us the example in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13 to 17, and basically says that Jesus was baptized and came up out of the water and the heavens opened and the Spirit of God descended on him like a dove. And Jesus was baptized only for an example. Obviously, Jesus didn't need to die to an old selfish life like we do, because the Bible says that he was without sin in the book of Hebrews. But don't miss the fact that Jesus did this to fulfill all righteousness, as that verse says. Now, I know that we've got just a couple more quick minutes. I want to try and tie in a few more key points. How is baptism supposed to happen? Is it the same as sprinkling? Does it matter if it's not done exactly with the way the Bible portrays? Notice what Acts chapter 8 and verse 38 says on the manner in which baptism takes place. It says, he commanded the chariot to stand still. This is And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Notice that they went down into the water and then were baptized, or literally, as Lawson mentioned, immersed. This is, baptism is a full water immersion. Death and burial and resurrection is what takes place in a spiritual sense. We cannot have any part of us that is not covered by that experience. Our entire being needs to be born again, not just leave one toe out that's still alive to our old life. It's going to become a cancer that will destroy us spiritually.
So, Brett,
but
we have
the
only...
question then comes...
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, we have only one... We have 30 seconds left, but I wanted to ask you this. Okay, so you're sharing with us a bit about what baptism is, what it represents, how it should be done. Mm-hmm. So what is what is your last words to the listener about that topic? You know, anything about considering about baptism, perhaps, should I do it, should I not do it? What would you say to them?
So good, such a good question. So look, the Bible advocates in Acts chapter 19 verse 1 to 5 a concept of re-baptism. If you've been baptized inappropriately, such as infant baptism, or you've been baptized and you didn't understand the full measure of truth surrounding that, or if you've been baptized and then you've gone astray from God, then the Bible does advocate re-baptism. If it was done in formality or something and didn't represent the inward change, then re-baptism is appropriate. If you've discovered things such as new groundbreaking truths like the Holy Spirit or Sabbath and Sunday, the difference between those two and which one's the actual day of the Lord, the state of the dead, and these kinds of things, if there's things like that that have come to your attention, then you have then the responsibility to come to repentance, just as we read about in Acts chapter 17 that says, when the light of truth comes to us, God winks at our ignorance, but when the light of truth comes, he calls us to repentance. So I would make the appeal to anybody out there who has not been baptized or who has been inappropriately or has walked away since then. It is essential for your salvation to commence that new life in Jesus. And I would encourage you, get in touch with our studio here. Someone will direct you to somebody that can guide you through that pathway. And may God bless you in your decision and in your journey from here.
Thank you very much, Brett Moody, on baptism. And as he said, if you're considering being baptized, you have any questions about it, just send us a message, 0491-064-669.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.